What we're doing is the man of God, men of God, and we're looking at the Old Testament, all the different men of God. One other thing in Samuel 17, 1 Samuel 17, Greg also pointed this out to me. I didn't know it or see it. Verses 12 through 31 don't appear in the Septuagint. So if you read verse 11 and then go to verse 32, it still makes sense. Now, whether they belong or not, that's another story. It's from a different manuscript. So just so you know that, and you can look at it if you have a Septuagint, and if you don't, you can probably borrow one. So we're going to go to chapter 18 now and pick up the story after the whole thing with David and Goliath, and then David did some damage to the Philistines. And verse 1 of chapter 18, it says, "It came to pass when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul." So this is the beginning of an incredible close relationship between Jonathan and David. And Jonathan, of course, is the son of Saul. And Saul took him that day and would let him go no more home to his father's house, speaking of David, right? And then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. So we know what a covenant is, right? A covenant is an agreement, but when the Bible uses the word covenant, some people would describe it as a contract in modern terms, but it's much greater than a modern contract. It's something, when you made a covenant with somebody in biblical times and biblical lands, you would die before you would break that covenant. It was just, something that you just, once you made that commitment, you just would never break it. So David and Jonathan made a covenant with each other. Verse 4, "And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David, and his garments, even to his sword and to his bow and to his girdle. And David went out whithersoever Saul sent him, and he behaved himself wisely." So what we see here was, David ends up being in the court of Saul, and Saul has made him like one of his generals. And he's sending him out on different errands to fight wars and do stuff. And it says that David behaved himself wisely, meaning he was circumspect. He was very careful. He was very sharp in what he did. He was very careful in what he did. "And Saul set him over men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servants. And it came to pass as they came, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistines, that the women came out of all the cities of Israel, singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tabrets, with joy, and with instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul hath slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. So really what this amounts to is David became, first he took care of Goliath, and then he went out and won some victories, and he's a national hero. It'd be like,
General Eisenhower.
Yeah, kind of like, even more. World War One, there was a guy named Alvin York. He was the most decorated soldier in World War One. And they gave him a ticker tape parade and, the whole thing. Or Lindbergh when he flew the Atlantic, everybody loved them. They could do no wrong. And that's the way David was seen. And the people were were exalting him and praising him even above Saul, who was the king. And Saul, verse 8, was very wroth, and the saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom? And so, you know, Saul, he was fearful that David was going to take over the kingdom. Now, we read back earlier, after Saul had disobeyed Samuel and God, that Samuel said, well, you're not going to be the king anymore. And then he found David and he anointed him. There's a bug in here. Well, he's annoying me. It's a little gnat or something. Anyway, you know, they didn't announce it or make it public. So, you know, David was just, he was content to serve and do as he was asked. But Saul was jealous and he was fearful that, you know, maybe David would, you know, engineer a coup d'etat or an overthrow or a civil war. And he was very nervous about this. And Saul eyed David from that day and forward. And it came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul. Again, we just, you know, Greg shared that. And again, it's not an evil spirit from God, but nearby, a spirit from the heavenly realm. Came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of the house, and David played with his hand as at other times, and there was a javelin in Saul's hand. And Saul cast the javelin, for he said, I will smite David even to the wall with it. And David avoided out of his presence twice. So Saul's sitting there and David's playing music to try to soothe his mind, because he was in one of those, you know, states. Yeah, he was losing his mind is what he was. And he got possessed, and apparently it must have been a spirit of murder, because he tried to kill David. He just threw the javelin at him, the spear. And David avoided it. Verse 12, and Saul and Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him and was departed from Saul. Saul saw that the Spirit of God was with David, but that he was no longer with him. And so he had a lot of fear and he was jealous. Therefore, Saul removed him from him and made him his captain over a thousand, and he went out and came in before the people. And David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. Again, wisely means, you know, he was prudent, or he was circumspect. He walked with God, and because of that, he prospered. He did well. Wherefore, when Saul saw that he behaved himself very wisely, he was afraid of him. So this made Saul even more afraid, and probably endeared David even more to the people, because he, you know, people just loved him. He was a great guy, and there was no guile in him. He didn't have any problems with Saul. He wanted to bless Saul. But all Israel and Judah loved David because he went out and came in before them. He was just, you know, today we would say he was transparent, right? He was just himself, and there was no phoniness about him. There was nothing. He walked with God. He was very careful about what he did, and he was a national hero. And if they had elections, he would have won in a landslide. So. And Saul said to David, behold, my elder daughter, Merab, her will I give thee to wife. Only be thou valiant for me and fight the Lord's battles. For Saul said, let not mine hand be upon him, but let the hand of the Philistines be upon him. So he's getting smart now. He couldn't kill him himself. So he says, well, if I make him, you know, in charge of the armies, and I send him out against the Philistines will kill him, and I'll be done with him. Right. It's pretty smart. Or it seemed to be, to Saul. And David said to Saul, "Who am I, and what is my life, or my father's family in Israel, that I should be son-in-law to the king?" Why, he just doesn't see himself, as any big deal. And he comes from, just a working class family. He was a shepherd. His father, had sheep and stuff like that. And he says, "Why would you want me to marry your daughter? I'm just me." Well, but it came to pass at the time when Merab, Saul's daughter, should have been given to David, that she was given unto Adriel the Mahalothite to wife. Whatever a Mahalathite is. And Michal, Saul's daughter, loved David, and they told Saul, and the thing pleased him. And that's, a younger daughter. And Michal, Saul's daughter, loved David, and they told Saul, and the thing pleased him. And Saul said, "I will give him her, that she may be a snare to him, and that the hand of the Philistines may be against him." Wherefore Saul said to David, "Thou shalt this day be my son-in-law in the one of the twain." And Saul commanded his servants, saying, "Commune with David secretly, and say, Behold, the king hath delight in thee, and all his servants love thee. Now therefore be the king's son-in-law." So, Saul is trying to convince David to take this daughter as his wife, and he sends his servants and he says, "Tell David that I really love him, and everybody in my court loves him, and I want you to be my son-in-law." And Saul's servants spake those words in the ears of David, and David saith, "Seemeth it to you a light thing to be the king's son-in-law, seeing that I am a poor man and lightly esteemed?" I don't really fit into this high society stuff. And the servants of Saul told him, saying, "On this manner spake David." And Saul said, "Thus shall ye say to David, The king desireth not any dowry, but 100 foreskin of the Philistines to be avenged of the king's enemies." But Saul thought to make David fall by the hand of the Philistines. That's a pretty interesting request, isn't it?
Yeah, really.
He goes, I don't want a dowry, but if you bring me the foreskins of the Philistines, of 100 foreskins of the Philistines, then you can have my daughter's hand." And when his servants told David these words, it pleased David well to be the king's son-in-law, and the days were not expired. Wherefore David arose and went, he and his men, and slew of the Philistines 200 men. And David brought their foreskins, and they gave them in full tale to the king, that he might be the king's son-in-law. And Saul gave him Michal, his daughter, to wife. So he didn't bring him just 100, he brought him 200. So he went over and above. And Saul saw and knew that the Lord was with David, and that Michal, Saul's daughter, loved him. And Saul was yet the more afraid of David. And Saul became David's enemy, what? Continually. Now, you know what this says? It says that Saul became David's enemy, but it doesn't say that David became Saul's enemy, right? David was innocent. He just wanted to bless Saul. He wanted to serve Saul. He was loyal and faithful. Whereas Saul was disloyal and not faithful to him at all, and he was willing to shed innocent blood. That's what he was willing to do. And God spoke about number of times about shedding innocent blood, and that's not a good thing. So, we saw the first time that Saul attempts to get his life when he throws the spear at him, but it's going to happen a time and time again. Although David was a young man, and if you think to when he went to fight Goliath, he wasn't even respected by his oldest brother. Yet he walked with God and was wise beyond his years or his education or his experience because he walked with God. His training was as a shepherd, which really was a great value because to be a shepherd, you had to be disciplined, you had to be self-reliant, you had to look to God, and he was courageous and he was faithful at his work. You know, a shepherd, he just doesn't show up when he feels like it. It's pretty much 24/7. And you take the sheep when you take them out up into the mountains and you build a enclosure and you take care of them and you bring them in at night and you guard them and you watch over them and it's just you and the sheep and God. And he learned a lot from that. So, chapter 19. They should kill David. Can't mistake his desire. Again, another time, Saul says, I want him dead. But Jonathan, remember Jonathan and David had made a covenant. They were like brothers. They loved each other as brothers. But Jonathan, Saul's son, delighted much in David. And Jonathan told David, saying, Saul, my father, seeketh to kill thee. Now, therefore, I pray thee, take heed to thyself until the morning, and abide in a secret place and hide thyself. Okay. Well, that's pretty straightforward, too. So, for a second time, Saul, or a third time, actually, Saul, you know, decides he wants to kill David, and this time, Jonathan, and Jonathan's look to protect David. Verse 3, and I will go out and stand beside my father in the field where thou art, and I will commune with my father. You know, I'll have a conversation with him of thee and what I see, that I will tell thee. So, you know, says, I'm gonna talk to my dad about you, and what he tells me, I'll tell you. And Jonathan spake good of David unto Saul his father, and said unto him, Let not the king sin against his servant, against David, because he hath not sinned against thee, and because his works have been to thee ward very good. And that's true, isn't it? Everything that David did, he did, he was good. He was a good guy. So, you know, I don't know if you could call David at this point a man of God. We know later on he was a prophet besides being the king, but he has all the ingredients of being a man of God. He's got spirit. He's a faithful man. He's an honest man before God, and he's getting stronger and stronger. Verse 5, for he did put his life in his hand and slew the Philistine, referring to Goliath. And the Lord wrought a great salvation for all Israel. Thou sawest it and didst rejoice to slay David without cause. So, you know, why do you want to kill him? There's no reason. And Saul hearkened unto the voice of Jonathan, and Saul sware, as the Lord liveth, he shall not be slain. So, at least a short moment, Saul is,
Got a sound mind.
yeah, had a sound mind, and Jonathan said, "Look, you don't want to kill him." And he said, "No, I won't. I promise I won't do it." And Jonathan called David, and Jonathan showed him all those things, and Jonathan brought David to Saul, and he was in his presence as in times past, which means, you know, he was there. He did his bidding. He served Saul, he obeyed him, he ran his errands, he went out and fought battles, he played the music when Saul was having a tough time and kind of made him mellow. And there was war again, and David went out and fought with the Philistines and slew them with a great slaughter, and they fled from him. And the evil spirit from the Lord was upon Saul as he sat in his house, with his javelin in his hand, and David played with his hand. And Saul sought to smite David even to the wall with the javelin. Again. But he slipped away out of Saul's presence, and he smote the javelin into the wall, and David fled and escaped by night. So, once again, Saul tries to kill him. This is another attempt. Saul also sent messengers unto David's house to watch him and to slay him in the morning. And Michal, David's wife, told him, saying, if thou save not thy life tonight, tomorrow thou shalt be slain. So Michal let David down through a window, and he went and fled and escaped. You know, now he's married to Saul's daughter, and his best friend is Saul's son. Mm-hmm. And both of them have saved David's life, which has to make Saul even more upset. And Michal took an image and laid it in the bed, which means like an idol. Or that's what it says in, I think, the NIV. It says she took an idol. And put a pillow of goat's hair for his bolster and covered it with a cloth. In other words, she made it look like David was in bed. She covered it up. And when Saul sent messengers to take David, she said, he is sick. And Saul sent the messengers again to see David, saying, bring him up to me in the bed that I may slay him. So he didn't take no for an answer. He sent the guys. She said, well, he can't come out today. He's sick. And they went back to Saul, and Saul said, go get him and bring him in his bed. He wasn't going to be denied. And when the messengers would come in, behold, there was an image in the bed with a pillow of goat's hair for his bolster. And Saul said unto Michal, why hast thou deceived me so and sent away mine enemy that he has escaped? And Michal answered Saul, he said unto me, let me go. Why should I kill thee? So David fled and escaped and came to Samuel to Ramah. Remember, Samuel's the guy, he was the man of God, and he's the one that, you know, served God so faithfully for so many years. And he's the one that originally anointed Saul as king. And then when Saul disobeyed, it was Samuel that had the unpleasant job of telling him, you're done, you're fired. And then he mourned for Saul all night until God said, okay, enough. Now it's time to move on. So he went to Samuel, and he told him all that Saul had done to him, and he and Samuel went and dwelt in Naoth. And it was told Saul, saying, behold, David is at Naoth in Ramah, and Saul sent messengers to take David. And when they saw the company of the prophets prophesying, and Samuel standing as appointed over them, the Spirit of God was upon the messengers of Saul, and they also prophesied. That must have been an interesting sight. Can you imagine? And when it was told Saul, he sent other messengers, and they prophesied likewise. And Saul sent messengers again a third time, and they prophesied also. He just keeps trying. Then went he also to Ramah, and it came, and he and came to a great well that is in Say Chu. And he asked and said, where are Samuel and David? And one said, behold, they are at Naoth in Ramah. And he went hither to Naoth in Ramah, and the Spirit of God was upon him also. And he went on and prophesied until he came to Naoth in Ramah. And he stripped off his clothes also and prophesied before Samuel in like manner, and lay down naked all that day and all that night. Wherefore they say, is Saul also among the prophets? Now, you know what we learn from this is kind of interesting. In the Old Testament, lots of times God could put a spirit on, get away. You put it on them and take it away.
Mm-hmm.
But others, not necessarily so. Can you? I can't. I can only just. Okay, so chapter 20. So, you know, David goes from being a national hero to being a fugitive. You think about it, you know, he just wanted to do what was right. He wanted to do what God wanted him to do. He went to Samuel. That was a good move, to talk to Samuel. I'm sure Samuel gave him some good counsel. And, you know, David didn't try to overthrow Saul, did he?
Right.
No. He didn't engineer a coup d'etat or anything like that. He didn't start a civil war. And the only thing he can say is it wasn't God's will. That for whatever reason, he had to bide his time. He had to wait and allow Saul to self-destruct, basically. So, and that really rules David's life, that attitude, and just doing what God said. And it had to be tough at times because he's told that he's a man that God wants, and yet he can't take over. You know, and he sees that Saul has got problems, obviously. So, and he does everything he can to please the guy. He does everything he can to help the guy. And what happens? He tries to kill him. Life's not fair. It's kind of like golf. And golf's not fair. Anyway, and David fled from Naoth in Ramah and came and said before Jonathan, "What have I done? And what is my iniquity? And what is my sin before thy father that he seeketh my life?" So he goes back to his friend and he says, "You know, what did I do? What's the problem?" And he said unto him, "God forbid, thou shalt not die. Behold, my father will do nothing, either great or small, but that he will show it to me. And why should my father hide this thing from me? It is not so." And David sware moreover and said, "Thy father certainly knoweth that I have found grace in thine eyes." And he says, "You know, Jonathan, your dad knows that we're close, that we care for each other." And he said, "Let not Jonathan know this, lest he be grieved. But truly, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, there is but a step between me and death." What a thing to say, you know. David knows the situation. Nice catch. David knows what's going on. He says, there's just but a step between me and death. I can make one wrong move and I'm dead. Then said Jonathan unto David, "Whatsoever thy soul desireth, I will even do it for thee." And David said unto Jonathan, "Behold, tomorrow is the new moon, and I should not fail to sit with the king at meat. But let me go, that I may hide myself in the field unto the third day at even." So apparently every month at the new moon, they had a big feast. And all the close advisors and servants and people that were in Saul's inner circle were at that feast with him. And so David says, "Well, I'm not going to hide. And 3 days, if thy father at all missed," then say, "David earnestly asked leave of me that he might run to Bethlehem, his city, for there is a yearly sacrifice there for all the family. If he say, 'Thus it is well, thy servant shall have peace,' but if he be very wroth, then be sure that evil is determined by him." So, you know, he's not jumping to conclusions, but he wants to know where he stands. "Therefore, thou shalt deal kindly with thy servant, For thou hast brought thy servant into a covenant of the Lord with thee. Notwithstanding, if there be in me iniquity, slay me thyself. For why shouldest thou bring me to thy father? So he says to Jonathan, you know, if I really did something wrong, just kill me and get it over with. And Jonathan said, far be it from thee, for if I knew certainly that evil were determined by my father to come upon thee, then would not I tell it to thee? Then said David to Jonathan, who shall tell me? Or what if thy father answereth thee roughly? And Jonathan said to David, come, let us go out into the field. And they went out both of them unto the field. And Jonathan said to David, O Lord God of Israel, when I have sounded my father about tomorrow, any time or the third day, and behold, if there be good toward David, and I then sent not unto thee and show it to thee, the Lord do so and much more to Jonathan. But if it please my father to do thee evil, then I will show it thee and send thee away, that thou mayest go in peace, and the Lord be with thee as he hath been with my father. Well, in the past he was with his father, not lately.
Yeah.
Right? So, you know, they're both trying to be honest with one another. And Jonathan's saying, you know, I'm going to help you with this. I'll find out the best I can. And thou shalt not only while yet I live show me the kindness of the Lord that I die not, but also thou shalt not cut off thy kindness from my house forever. So Jonathan says, I'm showing you kindness, and when you get rid of all your, kill my family off. But also thou shalt not cut off the kindness from my house forever. No, not when the Lord hath cut off the enemies of David, every one of them from the face of the earth. So Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, let the Lord even require it at the hand of David's enemies. And Jonathan caused David to swear again, because he loved him, for he loved him as he loved his own soul. Wow, what a great close relationship they had. They really cared for each other. Jonathan really saw how great David was, and David needed a friend at this time. Then, verse 18, then Jonathan said to David, tomorrow is the new moon, and thou shalt be missed because thy seat will be empty. And when thou hast stayed 3 days, then thou shalt go down quickly and come to the place where thou didst hide thyself when the business was in hand, and thou shalt remain by the stone Ezel. And I will shoot 3 arrows on the side thereof, as though I shot at a mark, you know, at a target. He said, you go and hide by this rock, and I'll come on the third day, and I'll shoot 3 arrows like I'm shooting at a target. And behold, I will send a lad, saying, go and find the arrows. If I expressly say unto the Lord, behold, the arrows are on this side of thee, take them, and then come thou, for there is peace to thee and no hurt, as the Lord liveth. But if I say thus unto the young man, behold, the arrows are beyond thee, go thy way, for the Lord hath sent thee away. So he says, you know, if I tell the young guy to go get the arrows and bring them back to me, everything is good. But if I tell him, forget it, they're too far, that means it's time to take off. And as touching the matter which thou and I have spoken of, behold, the Lord be between thee and me forever. And so what they're saying is, we made this covenant right before God. He's our witness. So David hid himself in the field. And when the new moon was come, the king sat down to eat meat. And the king sat upon a seat, and at the other times, even upon a seat by the wall. And Jonathan arose, and Abner sat by Saul's side, and David's place was empty. Nevertheless, Saul spake not anything that day, for he thought, something hath befallen him, he is not clean. Surely he is not clean. You know, he was, maybe he was sick, come close to a dead man, something that would make him unclean, ceremonially unclean or something like that. He just thought, it must be a reason. And it came to pass on the morrow, which was the second day of the month, that David's place was empty. And Saul said unto Jonathan his son, Wherefore cometh not the son of Jesse to meat, neither yesterday nor today? And Jonathan answered Saul, David earnestly asked leave of me to go to Bethlehem. And he said, Let me go, I pray thee, for our house in the city. And my brother, he hath commanded me to be there. Now, if I have found favor in thine eyes, let me get away, I pray thee, and see my brethren. Therefore, he cometh not to the king's table. Then Saul's anger was kindled against Jonathan. And he said unto him, Thou son of the perverse, rebellious woman. He's cursing Jonathan's mother. Do not I know that thou hast chosen the son of Jesse to thine own confusion and unto the confusion of thy mother's nakedness? I guess in that time, in that culture, that was pretty raw. For as long as the son of Jesse liveth upon the ground, thou shalt not be established, nor thy kingdom. Wherefore now send and fetch him unto me, for he shall surely die. So he says to Jonathan, Look, if we don't get rid of David, you'll never get your inheritance as king. Jonathan didn't really care. But Saul did. Saul was angry. He was angry at Jonathan, he was angry at David. He was probably angry at himself. And Jonathan answered Saul his father and said unto him, Wherefore shall he be slain? What hath he done? And Saul cast a javelin at him to smite him, whereby Jonathan knew that it was determined of his father to slay David. Well, he tried to kill his own son, besides, in his anger. So Jonathan arose from the table in fierce anger and did eat no meat the second day of the month, for he was grieved for David because his father had done him shame. And it came to pass in the morning that Jonathan went out into the field at the time appointed with David and a little lad with him. And he said unto his lad, Run and find out now the arrows which I shoot. And as the lad ran, he shot an arrow beyond him. And when the lad was come to the place of the arrow which Jonathan had shot, Jonathan cried after the lad and said, Is not the arrow beyond thee? And Jonathan cried after the lad, Make speed, haste, stay not. And Jonathan's lad gathered up the arrows and came to his master. But the lad knew not anything, and only Jonathan and David knew the matter. And Jonathan gave his artillery, that means he gave him his bows and arrows and all that stuff, unto the lad and said unto him, Go carry them into the city. And as soon as the lad was gone, David arose out of a place toward the south and fell on his face to the ground and bowed himself three times. And they kissed one another and wept one with another until David exceeded. And Jonathan said to David, Go in peace. For as much as we have sworn both of us in the name of the Lord, saying, The Lord be between me and thee, and between my seed and thy seed forever. And he arose and departed, and Jonathan went into the city. So then David escaped once again. So that's where we're going to stop tonight. That's a lot of reading. But told himself he didn't lose his composure, he didn't get mad. He just did his best to listen to God. And again, you see, as we when we follow the record, that, you know, he had times and opportunities to kill Saul, and he refused because it wasn't God's will. It wasn't what God wanted him to do. He didn't want him to overthrow Saul, even though Saul was no longer God's man. He was no longer the one that God wanted to lead Israel. And of course, you know, everything that Samuel told Israel about a king with Saul pretty much came to pass. You know, when he said, you know, he'll tax you, he'll take your kids and put them into his service, and he'll take your fields and he'll enrich himself. And that's what Saul did. He did all the things that God said he would. And they said, well, we don't care. We want a king to fight our battles. And then he didn't really fight his battles. He got David to fight his battles. So Father God, we thank you for this night. We thank you for blessing us, for keeping us safe and healthy, and for the beautiful life of David, that we can see some great things. And certainly we'll see later he wasn't perfect, but he had such a heart for you, God, and we just thank you that we can learn from that. And we thank you for your love and your grace abounding in our lives, and for a great night, a safe ride home for everybody, a great sleep, and a great day tomorrow. In the name of Jesus Christ.